My mother had a habit of wrapping a lot of tape around packages. She had a fear that they would be mishandled by the post office. She taped them so much that I had a lot of trouble opening them. I'd have the scissors, I'd have the box knife. Sometimes it was a team effort just to get to the present inside. I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but I told her one day, a little less tape, please, a little less tape. I can't even get to the present inside. And she said, well, you know, I'm worried that it's going to get hurt. I said, I know. And now I wonder how many of us go through life all wrapped up like this, you know? We're scared that our openings, our soft spots are going to get exposed or crushed in the postal trip of life. The trouble is, when we tape ourselves closed so tightly, no one can get in. And what's inside, the gift we have for the world, can't get out. Years ago in seminary, once a week, I would walk a mile to my spiritual director's office. If you haven't heard of spiritual direction, it's a lot like therapy. You meet with your director once a week, but the focus is on where your spirit and theology is growing and changing your life. It's hard work. I dreaded walking in because I feared every week I would have nothing to say. I'd arrive at the center, and my director would lead me to our meeting room, and we would exchange cordial greetings and settle into our chairs in silence. She would wait. And it was there, in the waiting, in the silence, that I would discover what had healed me that week. I would discover what had broken me that week. We were a team of two searching for what was broken and what was good. That broken alleluia. It was healing. It was a team sport. The feminist theologian Nell Morton describes a workshop she conducted. One of the participants, she said, was a quiet, almost frightened woman. She was silent. Now, like my spiritual director, Morton did not push her, but waited. On the last day of the workshop, the woman wandered off alone. When they later gathered in small groups, she started hesitatingly, awkwardly. I hurt all over, but I don't know where to begin to cry. I don't know how to begin to cry. She began to talk. The group waited in silence. She gained momentum and coherence, and she reached a moment of excruciating pain, and no one moved. No one interrupted her. No one comforted her. The group sat in powerful silence. Finally, as the woman finished her story, she spoke again. You heard me. You heard me all the way. And I have a strange feeling you heard me before I started. You heard me to my own story. You heard me to my own speech. It was a team, not a team of fixers and doers and advice givers where I know better than you, or if I were in shoes, I would have done this, and maybe we should call the social worker and get someone to fix your chimney, and I'm so sorry that all this happened in your life, but I know what's good for you. It wasn't that kind of team. It was a team of witnesses, a team of listeners that let that woman in her own dignity and space find her own healing. That was a healing team. Healing is a team sport. Now here at church, we can be a team at our best to help one another heal. We come to church each Sunday for a lot of reasons. And one of them, at least I hope, if we're doing a good job as a community, is to feed our minds and spirits for a reprieve from the pressures of the world, to experience beauty, but to also heal one another. And at our best, if we're really present in Soul Matters groups and small group ministry and fellowship time in the silence of the sanctuary, and the pastoral encounter, we can be heard into our own speech, because healing can come when we tell our stories. We come to church in our lives in a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. That's one of our Unitarian Universalist principles. Now, you know, we don't have saints in Unitarian Universalism. Many of you are glad about that. Thoreau is about as close as we get, and he said this: it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak and the other to listen. We come to church to do both. Healing is not, as often we think, or perhaps it occurs best when we're outside of a paternalistic, colonialist kind of context, when we respect the dignity of the person we are accompanying, or we are respected and accompanied as we take our next steps. Like the horse and the animals crossing the river, the horse had to take the steps, but he didn't have to do it alone. No one gave him advice. Horse, if you just lift up your head a little bit and buckle up, you could do it. No, they said, you're scared. We'll walk with you. Outside of the church, we might be heard into our own speech by a close friend. Those are the friends who really know. A therapist, a peacekeeping circle, a 12-step group. Healing is a team sport. Sometimes we speak. Sometimes we listen, deep spiritual listening. Sometimes we are healed. Sometimes we are the healers. After he received his medical degree, Carl Jung interned at a hospital with women who had become mute. The doctors tried to give the women their language. Horse, if you just put one hoof in front of the other like this, you'll get to the other side. Dr. Jung took a different approach. He observed the women's repetitive moments and words. And over time, after careful observation and respect, he imitated the women's mannerisms back to them. He repeated this over and over again, and he waited. Slowly, one woman at a time recognized the connection and began to communicate. He had heard them into speech, and it was their own speech. They were a team. Over time, some of the women recovered their own stories. Some created new stories, and many of them became well enough to be released from the hospital. Their healing was a team sport, and so is ours. I saw this amazing video online this week. There was a man sitting in a chair at a hospital, and he was blindfolded. And the doctor touched his fingers one at a time. And he would respond with which finger? Pinky, pinky, index, middle, thumb, ring, pinky, middle, index. They continued for a whole minute, and then off camera, you hear a voice say, 20 out of 20. What was amazing about this is that the doctor was touching the man's robotic arm. The arm is connected to his brain by electrodes implanted in his brain, and he can control his arm with his brain just by thinking about it. His own hands can no longer connect to his brain. He can't feel his physical hands. But his brain still knows how to feel. Sensory touch in prostheses is a medical breakthrough. The University of Pittsburgh team just released their findings on Thursday of this week. And now, 12 years after a devastating car wreck, Nathan Copeland can reach out and feel his world, even if just a little bit. He said this, "It's a really weird sensation. Sometimes it feels kind of like electrical. Sometimes it's more of a pressure. Sometimes it just feels natural." He can feel if something is hard or soft. It's amazing. Nathan is not cured, but he has experienced some kind of healing, and it was a team sport. So NPR quoted a bioengineer and assistant professor from the University of Pittsburgh and an engineer at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory. And that's about where the story ended. But that's not the whole story here, because we know that we are interconnected, right? Healing is a team sport. So I now want you to think of that story from NPR on Thursday and think of it in your faith tradition as a Unitarian Universalist who believes in an interdependent web. I want you to think about that. Think first of the physicians, the researchers, and engineers. Think of their grad students who got like 4 hours of sleep for years on very little pay and ate mostly ramen. Think about Nathan's family. That probably comes to you. Now, you might think of the surgeon who implanted the electrodes in his brain. Maybe you think of the OR tech who gets up in the wee hours of the morning to sterilize the surgical equipment. Maybe the scrub nurse. Now, I want you to think of this interconnected web and take another step back. I want you to think about that same engineer, and now I want you to think about his kindergarten teacher. She was part of that team. I want you to think about the circulating nurse in that OR. Maybe she was the first of her family to go to college. Maybe her parents were undocumented. I want you to think that her parents were some way part of Nathan's team. Now I want you to think about the janitor, the people who don't get seen. He cleans Nathan's room and unknowingly prevents a fatal infection. He's part of the team. I want you to think about the woman who gets up to scramble eggs with broken English to brew the coffee in the hospital cafeteria. The surgeon's going to drink that coffee and eat those eggs before she implants electrodes into Nathan's brain. Healing is a team sport. We all have a role to play. Sometimes it's two people, and sometimes it's bigger than we can possibly imagine. Some years ago, I was a hospital chaplain, and I was part of an interdisciplinary medical team. A lot goes on behind the scenes that, as patients, we don't see. But every day, we'd have rounds. I'd meet with the social worker, the occupational therapist, the nutritionist, nurse manager, attending physician, the patient's family, and sometimes the patient's pastor or rabbi. One night, I drove by the hospital, and I saw the skyscraper lit up in the darkness, some windows bright. Some dark, a random checkerboard of light against the night sky. With one eye on the road, I tried to find my floors in the building. I wondered how my patients were doing that night. I knew some of their lives had been shattered that day. My heart felt heavy with the grief of their illnesses, their losses. But there, too, many were getting better. Some were going home tomorrow morning. There was a team surrounding each patient to heal, kind of like Nathan's team. And then I thought, and I kind of got amazed, that wasn't just my floor. That was every floor of that skyscraper. And then I thought again, driving down the streets of St. Paul, Minnesota. There are other hospitals in these Twin Cities. That was happening at every hospital tonight. And then I thought, you know, we're not the only city in the country or the world. In every city, there are these hospitals where this is happening. My heart broke and swelled with joy at it. Brutal and beautiful though it is, a broken alleluia. Everywhere it is true we are broken. Everywhere is the possibility of healing. There may not always be a cure, but healing can happen. That's something we talk about in palliative and hospice care. And it's a good lesson for life if we're not too scared to look at death straight in the face. We can have wholeness and healing even if we never have cure. But we need a team to do it. So often we interpret our seventh principle, the interdependent web of all existence, as a principle about ecology. And this is true. And ecology and global climate change is one of the biggest moral issues of our time, make no mistake. But it's also about us, our network together, if we can help one heart from breaking. Not unlike Nathan, when we are broken, our brains and hearts still know how to feel. We just need some help getting there. We're a team, and we can let ourselves be opened. We can peel back the tape that has protected us from the world, and we can find our hearts. The world sometimes feels like the waiting room of an emergency ward. Sometimes we're the broken. Sometimes we, who are more or less okay for now, need to take the tenderest possible care of the more wounded people in the waiting room. Until the healer comes, sit with people. Bring them juice and graham crackers. Healing is a team sport. May we receive that blessing, and may we offer it to others. Amen.